Well, I have the next presentation, and I'm going to be speaking on mothers in the workforce, the public health connection, and how mothers are organizing for change. And the briefest bio ever on myself is that I'm the vice president for Moms Rising, a national multicultural organization of a million members advocating for policy change in the area of family health and family economic security. Previously, I directed the Health Promotion Department at the University Health Services at UC Berkeley and taught in the School of Public Health. What I'm going to be looking at is the intersection between these three issue areas, the extent to which mothers are in the workforce, health policy, and health disparities. In a nutshell, here's the story. Mothers have entered the workforce in great numbers and unprecedented numbers, and this is a huge shift in the past, from the past. We in the public health field need to focus on the development of family-friendly policies for mothers as well as fathers. There are dozens of such policies, such as maternity and paternity leave, affordable child care, fair pay for mothers, and paid time off when sick. What I'm going to conclude with is that without such family-friendly policies, health disparities will persist. My presentation will show that without family-friendly workplace policies, the sick get sicker and the poor get poorer. So first, we're going to look at the extent to which mothers are in the workforce. You've probably seen it splash in the headlines. It was news just this past year that women now make up half of all United States workers. In some communities, women have always been in the workforce in high numbers, especially African-American women and low-income women in general. However, what is unprecedented today is the extent to which women across all demographic groups have entered the labor force. This shift in our workplace is considered one of the greatest social transformations of our time. Now, what about mothers? 81% of the women in the United States are mothers by the age 44, and the majority of these mothers are in the workforce. 78% of mothers with children 6 to 17 years old were in the labor force in 2008. That number is probably higher now, given the recession. Let's definitely forget about what the media likes to talk about, which is the opt-in and opt-out generation of women who can stay home with raising their children and leave the workforce. This is a subset of a relatively well-off families who have the option to not work. Very few women have this choice. The typical working wife today now brings home over 42% of her family's earnings. Families are dependent on women's income for their financial well-being. So our country's economy is also dependent on women working, and our economy and our workforce has changed dramatically, but our public policies are still based on the idealized picture of the past where the father worked and the mother stayed home to take care of children. For those of you who are parents or have friends who are parents, I don't have to tell you that today we've got a situation where mothers and fathers are struggling to meet the needs of their children while at the same time meeting the needs of their workplace. And with so many parents struggling, it's not an epidemic of personal failings. It's a systems problem that needs a systematic solution. So we're continuing on now and looking at health policy. And I'm going to look at a case study of paid sick days policy. Paid sick days are when an employee is allowed a certain number of days off when sick, or a family member is sick, without a loss in pay. Many of us here are likely to have such a policy where we work. But a significant number of people in the United States do not. If they take time off when sick, they don't get paid. And many feel financially forced to go to work. This can show visually the fact that 40% of private sector workers do not have any paid sick days. For us in the public health profession, it's especially concerning that it's precisely the people in jobs that have some of the most contact with the public that are the least likely to have job-protected paid sick days, like childcare workers and waitresses. many of whom can't earn even a single paid sick day. Here's one story that makes the public health connection crystal clear. A little while back, an employee at a Chipotle restaurant in Ohio came to work sick, unknowingly with the norovirus. And the result was that over 500 people became violently ill. That restaurant didn't have a paid sick days policy. So what you get is a situation where parents can choose to either take care of the health of their family, themselves or their children, and lose income, or maintain their paycheck and send a child sick to school, or go themselves to work sick and not heal as fast and spread communicable disease with coworkers. We also get situations like during the H1N1 epidemic where the CDC was all over the airwaves asking people with the flu to stay home, but hardly anyone was talking about how money factors were standing in the way. The issue is not about whether someone is willing to comply with health guidelines or not. Who doesn't want to stay home when they're sick? It's about the fact that there's a financial barrier to staying home. Then we're going to connect back to mothers specifically. Half of all working mothers who stay home with their sick child report that they do not get paid. And 1 in 6 workers report that they or a family member were fired or threatened with being fired for taking time off during an illness. We're moving on to the next part of where, how does this interact with health disparities? Well, to reflect back, what we said before was that 40% of private sector workers do not have any paid sick days. But if we break this down by income levels, you see that 67% of workers in the bottom wage quartile do not have any paid sick days. The health disparities connection is that people with higher incomes tend to also get paid sick days and can afford to stay home or have time to go to a doctor when sick. And they can take time off with a sick child. Many low-income people cannot afford to do so. So we have a situation in our country today where without paid sick days, poor families are at risk of getting poorer and the sick are at risk of getting sicker. And mothers know, in particular, that they are getting the short end of the stick. Female heads of households are among the nation's poorest. Mothers earn significantly less than men, are less likely to have paid sick days in their work, and yet, at the same time, women are primarily the ones in their families to care for children when they're sick. And this is one statistic that you may know intuitively. But the fact is that women are 80% more likely to be the ones in their family taking care of their sick children. All this with being paid less having paid sick days, and not getting paid time off for staying home with the child. Because of this and because of many other family-unfriendly workplace policies, mothers are organizing, and they're organizing family health and economic security policies that affect parents in the workplace, one of which is paid sick days policies. There is an ongoing debate in Congress about the Healthy Families Act. This is an act that would guarantee workers throughout the country the right to earn a minimum number of paid sick days. Over 140 other countries in the world mandate paid sick days for their citizens. However, the U.S. has not passed such legislation, despite the fact that polling shows widespread support. Who knows if you saw over the weekend, Katie Couric had a show saying that she thought it was very reasonable that people should get paid sick days. And CNN also really recently expressed similar sentiments, covering the work of our next speaker from Rock, and also covering Moms Rising. For those of us in the public health, we need to daylight the fact that without paid sick days legislation, the promise of health reform will not be realized. What does it mean if you can now afford to go see a doctor, but you can't afford to take time off to go see the doctor in the first place? So I'm going to talk about Moms Rising, my organization, that is working for paid sick days and several other family-friendly workplace policies. We're a multicultural, million-member organization that is leveraging Web 2.0 to organize. We use email action alerts, extensive use of social media, blogs, Twitter, and Facebook, to organize women on the ground, and men also. We have 15% of our membership are men, to organize on the ground and generate media coverage. This is a map showing when we put out a call to our membership and asked them to submit stories about health issues. When we put out a call on the internet, within 48 hours, we can get back thousands of responses, sometimes in the tens of thousands of responses, of parents telling us what is really going on in their lives with a particular issue that we're putting out the information on. This allows us, this rapid response of stories from parents, allows us to take the pulse of what's really going on with families in real time, and then we can take action to move public policy. Our online communications also facilitates helping mothers rally on the ground, speak out with the media, and meet with their representatives in Congress. This is a Moms Rising member testifying in Congress on paid sick days. She had never before spoken out to any elected leader, nor to the media, and through Moms Rising, we had contacted her because she wrote us a very compelling story about her situation and brought her to Congress. These is Moms Rising members delivering storybooks about health issues to Congress, and let me tell you, when you're walking the halls of Congress with pregnant women and kids in strollers, you get some attention. We're also gathering at state capitals and building public awareness. Again, the media also really likes to cover pregnant women, women in strollers. It works. We do a number of things trying to have a little fun with organizing, not being strident and serious, but really, and we find that humor and playfulness with a serious message really brings people forward. This is a great one that took place in Milwaukee to build support for the paid sick days ballot initiative there. And Moms Rising members and their kids gathered at local libraries to make sicker treat goodie bags and then delivered them around in their neighborhoods with educational flyers about the paid sick days bill. In addition to working at the grassroots level, we're also working with leadership. And recently, Health and Human Services Secretary Sebelius invited Moms Rising to co-host a webinar to share mothers' stories about healthcare reform. Let me say, I don't have time to go into here about the digital divide, which is often a question given about our work. Suffice it to say, the digital divide is radically shrinking. Although there is a divide with some communities, the curve is going like this in terms of the differences. And in terms of many media pundits are talking about the new social digital divide, in which white communities are significantly using less mobile applications to get onto the internet and much more use of social media through cell phones. So there's an interesting correlation of the convergence that's happening. So lastly here, on that note, we're also having, Moms Rising was invited by former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, to have a Twitter chat with Moms Rising members with the recognitions that the extent of multicultural communities are using Twitter. To wrap up this presentation, I hope you, there's some literature from Moms Rising in the back, and I hope you'll come away with three easy points. Mothers are now in the modern workforce in great numbers. This is a phenomenal shift from the past. Because of this, we in the public health field need to advocate for family-friendly policies such as paid sick leave, as well as paid maternity leave and paternity leave and more. And without such policies, health disparities will persist, the sick will get sicker, and the poor will get poorer. The public health profession has the opportunity to be at the forefront of building family-friendly workplace policies. and I look forward to talking with you all further about this.